continuation of the UFO contact story from the planet Colders, from an anti-universe, which nature, and also their ways of traveling to Earth, will be described in later parts of this incredible story, which for the most was recorded through a special reconstructed radio, say part 1. Chapter 6, Invasion. The ominous build-up of the armada in the cold Asian asteroid belt must have appalled, Forford, the population of that planet. For us, wars and continuous fighting are part of our way of life. Indeed, Kenneth Clark suggests that the early stages of all civilizing epochs on Earth began with success in war, and that fighting is apparently necessary to stabilize the resulting civilization. At the other end of the scale, Colders had enjoyed 20 centuries of history without fighting of any kind, and consequently the only deterrent they could muster was their fleet of astral spacecraft. These craft are not intended for military service but are equipped with a sun-ray disintegrating laser or charged particle ray gun, which is designed to annihilate meteorites in the magnetic traffic lanes. Its pencil-like laser beam stabs at any object, destroying it in a brilliant flash without leaving a trace. Would it save their civilized soft hyphenation? How would the population, unprepared for violence, face up to the coming onslaught? 5 days before Christmas, the fateful news came by radio. A Byraean cargo astral craft relayed the mess soft hyphen age from Melka. "I am Kashendo, from Melka Control. I have very grave news for you, Edwin. 2 weeks ago, the alien Goldonians attacked Colders. Guided missiles in large numbers were launched, causing widespread damage, including destruction of the main communications center. During this attack, 3,000 people lost their lives and many forests were set on fire. The defense was conducted by Weora, who led the 1st Division of AST-Soft-Railcraft. 5 craft were lost with all crews and 14 were damaged." Edwin was stunned by the news and could hardly bear soft-ev's ears. Kashendo continued his report. "At this very moment, Goldonia is preparing to launch another attack. The superiors of Colders have ordered the Vksoft-Ashen of tall buildings in the main cities. The people have moved to the adjoining countryside or taken shelter in basements. In spite of the first losses suffered by the people, morale is high. We are confident that the invaders will be overcome and harmony restored to the planet of peace." Kashendo then explained the difficulties the Cold Asian patrol craft had locating the alien guided missile soft-lay in the asteroid belt. The region was a vast maze of debris from thousands of planetoids and bits of barren rock. It was equally perilous to the Goldonians, and some of their missiles were seen to collide with rocks and explode. The astral crafts lowered down considerably, while looking for these needles in a haystack. Once a missile was located, it was destroyed by a single burst from the sun ray. "Unfortunately," continued Kashendo, "we were not able to inform you earlier of the Goldonian attack on our planet. Our radio communication from Melka needs an astral craft between us and you on Earth to relay the signals, as they cannot reach you directly." With a soft-4 thanked the Byraean commander of a cargo carrier for making this transmission possible. "You will get informed of developments from time to time, either by Melka or by the Cetonian, friends Ibo." 2 weeks later, on January 2, 1970, his voice was heard again from Melka at 6:30 p.m. A Byraean craft assisted in relaying the transmission. It was most disturbing news. 2 Earth days ago, the message ran, "Goldonian space assault craft invaded the cold Asian atmosphere. There were 37 craft in all. These were manned craft of immense proportions. Their objective was to capture the strategic tracking station in the northern hemisphere. This installation was hidden in a remote forest and had a staff of over 1,000. A Corinthian astral device soft-ion was launched immediately to intercept the invaders." Kashendo explained that the Corinthian was a craft especially designed for long-distance interplanetary travel. "It incorporates the most advanced designs with automatic instrumentation and is one of the most formed soft-able craft in annihilating power as well as instant translocating capacity. Translocation is a form of instant displacement in space. In the encounter, most of the alien craft were destroyed and forced to land in Calder's, although some escaped. They failed in their missile-iron to destroy the tracking station. The prisoners were interrogated, and after the initial language problem was overcome, the Galdonians admitted that they were a SIST-ed by at least two other planets in their system. One of the reasons for attacking Calder's was to capture their minerals, food and other resources which they needed. The people of Calder's were appalled to hear that planets would go to war, destroy and kill many thousands for such a trivial reason. The Galdonian prisoners seem soft-ed to be fearless, indicating their belief that with the aid of the other two planets they would eventually run Calder's and bring her to her knees. In the meantime, Calder's had no alternative but to brace for forthcoming onslaught. Efforts were made to extract information from the captives which may lead to the location of these three hostile planets. As Kashendo phrased it, "We are civilized beings, although we are at war. We shall not put our prisoners to any discomfort so as to compel them to reveal their secret to us." He added that all their hopes were pinned on the fabulous new Corinthian astral craft and the hope that they would be able to find the planets concerned and put an end to their unwelcome designs in time. But 2 days later at 9:45 a.m., a very concerned Kashendo spoke through the receiver, stressing the very urgency of the message for Edwin. "At this moment, while I am speaking to you, Galdonia is in the throes of launching another attack on Calder's. An estimated 3,000 missiles are heading for our home planet. The Corinthian division has been alerted to intercept them before they reach the limits of our atmosphere. This is a crisis of first order for Calder's. It is the largest force that Galdonia has so far launched against us. Must discontinue transmission for now, as all channels are required for emergency traffic. When possible we'll inform you on the outcome of this attack. Farewell." Day by day, more news of this latest attack was expected by Edwin and his group, but nothing was received at all. Was there no craft in the vicinity of Earth to relay a message from Melka? Or had this attack then overwhelmed the planet so unprepared for such a war? Would all the other planets of the Confederation fall like nine pins in an all-out war among the stars? Would Earth be on the list of targets? Had our asteroid belts already been mined by alien missiles? Days passed into weeks, and then on the third week at 6:45 p.m., the long-awaited message came. "Unfortunately," said Kashendo, "we have not been able to contact you earlier, due to the complete destruction of the main communications center on Calder's. And since then, this artificial satellite has been overloaded with message traffic and the handling of spacecraft of the Confederation. In my last transmission I informed you that a barrage of Galdonian missiles was on its way to Calder's. These missiles were all directed to converge on the main communications center. Unfortunately for us, they did penetrate our defenses and scored hits on this vital nerve center. Close to 1,000 of our operating personnel lost their lives. Many more were injured and large areas of surrounding facility was leveled to the ground. But Galdonia did not get things all their way. Amongst their guided missiles were hundreds of assault craft manned by Galdonian attack forces and their soft-bombs. They were to land and occupy the communication complex of buildings. But this operation failed then completely. A Corinthian squadron entirely destroyed 57 of the attacking vessels and the remainder retreated. But the pilotless missiles caused tremendous damage by being concentrated on a relatively small area. For every two missiles destroyed, at least one penetrated our fence and brought complete havoc and terror to all those who lived around the area. The attack lasted for 3.5 hours. "The worst blow for Calder's," said Kashendo, "was the almost complete destruction of the Corinthian division, which was just ready for departure on the search for these hostile planets. More than three-quarters of them were destroyed in violent explosions, and it will take much valuable time to replace these craft on which the hopes of Calder's were focused. From what Kashendo said in his latest transmission, It was obvious that Calder's was staggering under the blows of the aggressor, but at the same time, the planet was licking her wounds and making an all-out effort to rally her resources. Hess said that an Oath Corinthian division was already on the assembly line and that as soon as these craft were ready for operation, they would leave under the command of Vuldar. A determined search would be made in the as yet unexplored suspect regions to find the aggressor planets. Devastating news. Meanwhile, Pearl would be entering this unexplored area with 34 Astral Patrol craft until the new Corinthian fleet could take over. Here the Galdonians were expected to be in hiding, probably in large numbers. If only this threat could be removed, Calder's would be free from the missile attacks. Wars have occurred on many civilizations in the universes and destructed human culture, but the experiences of these pains have led these planets to higher levels of sympathy for their cosmic brothers and sisters. 24 hours later, Kashendo was back with an soft-other radio message. This was at 8:30 on January 24, 1970. At last we have some encouraging news. Kal's patrol division has located a large pocket of Galdonian craft and missiles. These were being held in reserve B-soft-hind the asteroid belt. This discovery was a stroke of luck because it is a vast uncharted region. Kal attacked the missiles immediately with the sun ray and annihilated many. We feel that this is a breakthrough and clues found inside the alien craft may lead to other hidden depots at some strategic locations nearer Calder's. Kal's initial success has prompted our superiors to send yet another Astral Patrol division into this area and Vuldar will be leaving almost immediately with 72 craft. This was good news, a ray of hope for Edwin and his Q group members and friends who took a keen interest in developments. They had been living under a cloud ever since the news of the attack on Calder's broke. They all hoped that time could be gained for the planet which had been singled out for the initial attack by the invaders. If only Calder's were able to mobilize her resources quickly, then her obvious technical and spiritual super-soft-iority must surely win. Then there was the potential of the combined strength of the other planets in the Consoft-Federation. Surely they would not stand by and allow an enemy of their highly developed civilization go unchal-soft-inged. Thus, even among great planets, fighting seems to be necessary to guard civilization. The invaders would have to be vanquished again. We do not know how many times Easter Shash happened. History records Tath have returned to the attack again and again, and even Earth has not escaped attention. The Confederation has never completely wiped out this opponent, leaving their destiny to be decided by the Divine One. There may be a very important object lesson here. These are not the first extraterrestrials to describe long-time observation of Earth and a history of advanced civilizations in our planet destroyed by attackers from space. The frequency may not be great, but the threat is always there. Perhaps our only safety in the long run is to join a confederation of planets affording a broader range of protection. Perhaps even associations of consoft-federations is necessary, as has already been described by UFO nauts. In the meantime, life for Earth's inhabitants moved on as usual, the vast majority oblivious of the drama unfolding on another planet who had been observing us. Edwin and Elizabeth's first child, Michelle, was born on the 7th of February, 1970, bringing new domestic responsoft-civilities.